and against the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the religious world today. And it sounds like I'm harping on something, but no, the Word of God isn't to be harped on. It's to be taught over and over. And one of the apostles said that to write the same things to you, to me, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. And so here we go again on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'd like to teach on it. I would like to teach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost until everybody in the church is filled with the Holy Ghost, and until everybody that already has received the Holy Ghost will be obedient to the command in the book of Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't turn to the world, don't turn to wine for something to make you feel good when God has everything at our disposal to make us feel good. Why should we turn to the world for pleasure, for fun, for excitement when it's all in Him? At His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Praise the Lord. And I gave a warning the other night to parents, and I would like to repeat that warning over and over and over and over until we get it down deep into our spiritual systems. And that is, when we as parents have lost our intense joy in the Holy Ghost, we are going to start feeling sorry for our children for being limited to church for their enjoyment. And that should not be. Because if all the pleasure that is necessary for us and beyond all that the world can provide, offer us, if that's there and we don't take advantage of it, we're missing it. We're just plain missing it. Amen. So you've heard me talk about all this opposition to the Holy Ghost, and I repeat myself again. Some people say it's optional. Some people say it's not necessary. Some people say the baptism of the Holy Ghost causes pride. It makes you say we're better than you. Some people say it's divisive. Some say it's not for today. Some say it's for the apostles only. Some say it's for the Jews only. Some say it's for the early church only. Some say we have the Holy Bible and we don't need the Holy Ghost. Have you ever heard that? I've heard it many times. Okay, some people say it's the least of the gifts. We have something better. Well, I wonder what that is. It's a gift, some people say, and it's rude to ask for a gift. Some people say, well, we're saved without it, why have it? Some people say it's mere emotion. Some people say the Bible says, do all speak with tongues? And other people say, tongues is of the devil. And other people say, all believers have the Holy Spirit. Some say we receive the Holy Spirit at conversion, or at catechism, or at confirmation, or when we're baptized. Some people say tongues were given to preach the gospel to other nations on the day of Pentecost. But the very people that say that tongues was given on the day of Pentecost, or was used on the day of Pentecost to preach the gospel to other nations, are the very people that say that the gift of prophecy means the gift of preaching. Then why doesn't it say they prophesied on the day of Pentecost? Why don't they say that Peter was prophesying instead of speaking in tongues when he preached to the multitudes? Ridiculous, and you know it. Okay, the enemy of God, the enemies of God, are all against the sign of tongues. It's as though God made a mistake. You know, why did God choose tongues? Why didn't He choose something else? Well, because you didn't choose it, and He didn't give you the job of choosing it. He chose the sign Himself. God chose the sign. And people resist the sign, reject the sign, and even speak evil against the sign of speaking with other tongues. They say the devil causes people to speak in tongues. I have never read that in the Bible anywhere. But I have read where God causes people to speak in tongues over and over in the Bible. I think we better stick to the Bible and what it says rather than what people try to read into the Bible and say is in the Bible when it isn't in the Bible. People are afraid. They're afraid of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, it's supernatural. It should strike fear in us.
Praise God.
Jesus Christ came walking across the sea on the water to some terrified and affrighted disciples who thought they had seen a spirit, a ghost, an apparition. And I imagine they were sinking down in that boat and because they cried out for fear.
Yes.
Well, now you and I know that we shouldn't be afraid of Jesus. And yet they were scared to death. You and I know we shouldn't be afraid of the Holy Ghost, and yet there are people that are scared to death. Aren't you glad you're in the boat, or Jesus is in the boat with you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The sea walker is in our ship, and we're having great fellowship with him. Amen. Amen. But the enemy has always fought truth. Satan's a liar. He doesn't want the sinner to repent. He doesn't want anybody to believe on Jesus. He doesn't want us to become saints. He doesn't want the lost to be found. He doesn't want the sick to be healed. The devil doesn't want the sick to be healed. He doesn't want people. He doesn't want Lutherans and Baptists and Methodists and Pentecostals and other church people to have the Holy Ghost. The devil's against that. He doesn't want that. So who do you think is behind all the arguments against the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Not God. He promotes it. Who demotes it? The devil. The very one who doesn't want you to have this experience. Oh, I wish everybody'd wake up. I wish everybody'd wake up and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Too bad they didn't receive it before they found out that it was of the devil, or before they heard that lie, it's of the devil. Too bad they didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost before they heard that it wasn't for today or any of these other opposing arguments against the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It seems that as soon as you become a Christian, you're challenged. Is there really a God? I know I was. When I became a Christian, I know that I was challenged. I was Christian by name because I was raised in a Christian family. But when I became one experientially, oh, then I was challenged, yes. And I was challenged on the very existence of God. And you've heard my story. Is there really a God? Is he alive? And you know, I convinced one man that wasn't sure there was a God. And he saw it, and he said, okay. So there's a God. Is he necessary?
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. And so you know what I did? This is a few years ago, but the very next Sunday morning, I preached on, is God necessary? Amen. Is God necessary? But that shows you that there was an attitude in that person that was not corrected, even after he believed in God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. It's very important that we believe that he is, that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we must diligently seek him. And who does he give the Holy Ghost to? Those that seek him, those that ask for it. Ask, seek, knock, the Bible says. And it speaks about the Holy Ghost in those terms too. We're supposed to ask for the Holy Ghost, and he won't give you a scorpion, he won't give you a stone. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we're challenged, and then we're challenged as to which church is right. Which church? Are the Lutherans right? Are the Catholics right? Are the Baptists right? Who's right? Are the Pentecostals right? Who's right? Well, I don't know if any denomination is right, but I know this book is right. And I'm staking my eternal future on this book.
Amen.
Amen. How about you?
Yes.
I'm daring enough, I'm faithful enough, full of faith enough to stake my eternal future on this book. And I told the people in the prayer meeting last night that I've been talking to my wife lately about a couple of things. One being that I want to come to the place. I wish I was there. I wish I could say I was there. But I want to definitely come to the place, or come to the place definitely, where when I read anything in this book, I tremble, I shake, literally, physically, tremble and shake until I am living in accordance with what I read. Because the Bible says, to whom will the Lord look but to the man that reads his word and trembles at it. Trembles at it. I take that literally. Read that book and tremble at it. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
Amen.
A lot of people say they love the Lord, and they're not turning the pages of their books, looking of his book, looking for his commandments. If we love the Lord, if we really love the Lord like we say we do, we would be we would be having this book open, searching for his commandments constantly, that we might not offend him, but that we might prove our love to him by keeping his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's a shame how under the influence of the world we really are. And I fight that. I fight out from under that influence, the influence of the world. The world has taught us so very much, and we have learned so very little from God in so many things. Oh, we've learned how to get saved, and we've learned a little about holiness and how to walk in this world, but there is so much more we need to learn. Oh my, I've been reading like not the doctrinal chapters just lately in the Bible. I've been reading the practical chapters in the Bible to my wife, and as we arise in the morning, just talking about some of these things that God would have his people aware of today, so that we're not deceived in this last hour. Oh, there's a deceiving spirit out there today. Praise the Lord. And one of the deceptions is, do you need the Holy Ghost? Do you need the Holy Ghost? I believe all believers are expected to receive the Holy Ghost. John 7:39 says, talking about the Holy Ghost, which they that believe on him should receive. For Jesus was not yet glorified. The Holy Ghost was not yet given. But when it would be poured out, all of those that believe on him should receive that experience. Everybody. It's not an optional thing. It's not something you can just pick and choose or take it or leave it. It's not that way. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is for us. Christ provided that for us. Don't we want what he has provided for us? And I'd like to go a step further and say, even for those that have at one time in their lives received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with a sign of speaking in other tongues, listen, even for those, the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. And we need to be filled with the Spirit. Not just refer to August 27, 1944, 9:20 p.m. Sunday. That's not it. That's not good enough. I received the Holy Ghost on the 4th of July, or I received the Holy Ghost on Easter Sunday morning, that in 1962 or whatever. That's not enough. I'm full of the Holy Ghost today. That's the way it's supposed to be. Praise the Lord. And we need to live in that realm. Praise the Lord. That's what Jesus said. They that believe on him should receive this baptism of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost has been outpoured. And if you claim to believe in Christ and reject the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's dangerous ground to be on. You're in trouble with Jesus.
That's right.
He said, they that believe on him should receive it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I repeat myself again. Let me repeat myself. I don't make statements like, well, you can be saved without the Holy Ghost. You don't have to have the Holy Ghost. I don't make statements like that because the Bible doesn't make statements like that. Wouldn't it be nice if we could limit our language to Bible language? You know, kind of pick up Bible phrases and talk that way rather than hearing from the world all the time. My point is this. It's not a matter of, can I get along with this? Can I get along without this? Or do I have to have it? That's a bad attitude in the first place. We should want everything that the Lord has provided for us. We should want every gift that he has for us. That's why the Bible says, covet earnestly the best gifts. Seek those things. Praise the Lord. We need it all. We need everything the Lord has for us. Amen. And I said this, the question never was in the Bible, is it necessary? The question is and stands, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And if not, why not? That would be the question, you know? And so that keeps us seeking God. Now, rather than putting the pressure on people who believe on the Lord and have been baptized in his name but have never spoken in tongues or received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, let me put the pressure on all of us this morning. And I refer the third time this morning to Ephesians, where Paul said, be not drunk with wine or in his excess, but be filled with the Spirit. He's not talking about the initial experience. He's talking about a perpetual experience in the Lord, being filled with the Holy Ghost every day when you wake up, every morning, every night when you go to bed, full of the Holy Ghost. That's what the Lord wants for us. So, when we ask the question, is it necessary, or have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Don't let the devil sidetrack you, and you that have received the Holy Ghost, don't let the devil make a judge out of you. We make very poor judges of people. We really do. But we sit around sometimes and we judge these things, and there are probably people who don't have the Holy Ghost who are better people than some people who do have the Holy Ghost. That's because they have not employed their Holy Ghost to mortify the deeds of the flesh and make them the Christians that they ought to be. If I had a man tell me that he spoke in tongues so many years ago and he's got the Holy Ghost and everything's all right with him, and he said, I want you to know that's a blankety blanket truth, and he cursed and swore, I'd say, you can go. You can leave. I don't need that kind of a doctrine. The Holy Ghost was given to us to make us holy. Make us better than we are. God, anything God gives us is to make us better than we are. Praise the Lord. Amen. The attitude. I've said this before. Can you imagine, after pronouncing the young couple at the altar, husband and wife, and the minister says, son, you may kiss your bride, and he answers, is it necessary? Is it necessary? I've never seen that happen where a bride has said, is it necessary? But that's the way, that's the attitude that some people have toward the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Is it necessary? Is it necessary to kiss the bride? Call it what you want to. I wouldn't miss out on it for any, I'm still kissing mine. Amen. And I'm talking about that ongoing experience of being filled with the Holy Ghost, being filled with love for your wife. The Bible also says, husbands, love your wives. Amen. Praise the Lord. And another thing, not only is it necessary, being a pretty poor question, and exposing a bad attitude toward your wife-to-be, your bride at the altar there, or the baptism of the Holy Ghost, whatever we're talking about, there's another point I'd like to talk about, and that's expectation. When a person comes to the Lord, when a person repents of his sin, when he believes on the Lord, puts his faith and trust in him, asks his forgiveness, repents of his sin, he should be expecting the Holy Ghost. We should live in total expectation of the Holy Ghost. Don't you think so? I do. When my wife became pregnant, I expected her to have a baby. Now, she was pregnant with Jane probably, 30 some years ago? And now, wouldn't that be awful if she was in church here this morning pregnant with Jane? See what I'm saying? We should be expecting the Holy Ghost. It's something that just should automatically follow our faith in the Lord. So when my wife became pregnant, I expected her to have a baby. I didn't look at her enlargement and say, is it necessary? How many of you men looked at your wives and said, is it necessary? No, if you're a human being, you were excited about it. Oh, look what's happening every day, a little more. And what's the due date? September 1st. And so on. You live in expectation. You live in expectation of that thing happening. And sure enough, it happens. Praise the Lord. Now, some people believe in abortion. We don't believe in abortion around here. We believe in full-term birth, right? Okay. When Zion travails, she brings forth. Now, some of you could preach a sermon on abortion right here, and I'm going to keep moving on. But Brother Bennett will preach to us soon on that. Praise the Lord. We didn't question, is it necessary? We don't believe in abortion. If nature takes its course, a baby will be born. We're going to have another Johnson around here about September. We're expecting another Johnson. And who else is expecting? But when that conception takes place, when that seed of the Word of God finds a growing place in our hearts, you can expect wonderful things to take place in the kingdom of God. It's an obvious thing. It's going to happen unless you believe in abortion. And abort that thing. We don't believe in abortion around here. We believe in the seed being planted and the full birth. Praise the Lord. So why not? Why not? Just go ahead and take care and nurture that thing and bring forth that wonderful, wonderful experience. Praise the Lord. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's for us today. I said, if nature takes its course, a baby will be born. And if the Spirit of God takes its course without interference, without an abortion, you will speak in tongues. All these interferences, I read them. Here's an interference. Here's abortion. It's optional. It's not necessary. It causes pride. Divisive. Not for today. Apostles, Jews, early church only. We got the Bible. We don't need it. It's the least of the gifts. We don't want this baby. We got better babies. You know? Anybody ever treat their baby that way? No. No. In fact, you that have more than one, you couldn't tell me which one you like the best or love the most. I thought my dad was a real wise man. I've told you this before, but I remember when it was either my brother and I or my sister and I were vying for first place with Dad, you know. I jumped up in my dad's lap one day and I said, "Dad, who do you like the best, Doug or me, you know, or Naomi or me? Who do you like the best, Dad?" And he says, "Well, John, I like you the best, but I like Doug the most." Boy, I went away happy and satisfied, you know. My dad applied a little wisdom there to make us all. And isn't that to feel wanted and loved? Now, isn't that the way Jesus is? He makes each one of us feel like we are his favorite. Hey, tell me something. Don't you feel like a favorite with the Lord?
Yes.
Don't you just raise your hand if you feel like, I mean, he's just treated you special. He's treated you special. I feel that way. I just feel like I've been treated so special. Praise the Lord. He has been so good to me. And I've checked this out with other people to see how they feel. And I have found out that a lot of other people feel the very same way I do. That they just feel like the Lord loves them more than he loves anybody in the universe. It's just the way he treats us. The way he makes us feel. We jump up on our Heavenly Father's lap. And who do you love the best? Who do you like the best? You know, he tells us, I like you the best, but I like them the most. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. If I'm saved without the Holy Ghost, somebody said, why should I get it? Well, when Luann Paul, I wrote this down word for word, sister. When Luann Paul heard the question discussed, do I have to have the Holy Ghost? She said, and I quote Luann Paul this morning, the people that ask that question have an attitude problem. If Jesus offers it, we should desire it. And then I wrote under here, very good thinking, Sister Luann. Very good. Do I have to have the Holy Ghost? The people that ask that question have an attitude problem. If Jesus offers it, we should desire it. Isn't that the truth? Praise the Lord. If I'm saved without it, why desire it? Why want it? Well, I read these verses before. Let me read them, some of them again. John chapter 8, verse 31 says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Ah, they believed on him. I'm okay. I believe on him. No, I haven't been baptized. No, I haven't received the Holy Ghost. No, I haven't. But I believe on him, so all is well between me and God in eternity. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. If you go on, if you stop here, you're not my disciple. That's what Jesus said. He made it conditional, a two-letter word, IF. If you continue, if you go on, if you learn more of me, if you draw closer and closer and closer to me, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And what's in store for you? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Praise the Lord. Romans 11, verse 22. Romans 11:22, if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the road which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I know we've got a multitude of people today that are claiming they're heaven bound, but Jesus will be the final judge of that. And I don't say that just to people who believe and haven't done anything else. I say that to people who believe, have been baptized, have received the Holy Ghost, and haven't gone on also.
Amen.
How many want to go on? Amen. We should all want to go on to deeper things in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Colossians chapter 1. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Colossians 1:23. Verse 22 says, we better read 21 because there's no punctuation at the end of verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now that all sounds great, and it is great. It's greater than we can imagine. But then the next word is if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and if ye be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Oh my. I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Pentecostal. I don't care what we claim to be. If we are not going on, we are living dangerously. We need to go on. That's why we need to read and study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh, praise the Lord. So he says here, we've got a great salvation if we continue in it. You know, the finality of it all is, I have kept the faith. That's what Paul said at the end of his journey. He didn't say, I'm still talking in tongues. He didn't say that. He didn't say, I was baptized once so many years ago. No, he didn't say that. He said, I have kept the faith. I started here. There was some groundwork. There were some principles, those foundational things. I did them. I kept climbing. I kept going forward. I didn't stop. I have kept the faith. Now, the Bible also says the end of your faith is the salvation of your souls. Not the end of your baptism, not the end of your speaking in tongues, the end of your faith. You've got to continue in this thing. We've got to go on. How do we go on? Did you go on your knees this morning when you got up? Did you go on your knees last night before you went to bed? Did you go into your Bible today, yesterday, the day before? Did you meditate on the Word of God? Are you going on? Are you bringing forth fruit? We got to do more than talk in tongues, then.
Yes.
There is that experience, but there's a lot more than that. And I don't like to make anybody feel comfortable and cozy outside of Bible truth, outside of Jesus Christ and what he has provided for us. If thou continue in his goodness, oh, praise the Lord. In 1 Timothy 4:16, 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. I have heard so many people say we don't want doctrine. I have been excluded from certain groups because I have doctrine. And I don't dare express any doctrine, or they don't want us in their fellowships. Because they say it's divisive, and I haven't even gotten to the opposition, the opposing argument that says the Holy Ghost is divisive. I want to get into that one of these Sundays. But he says here, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Well, who's he talking to? Pentecostals only? Continue in them. We are not to get charismatic. We are not to get glossolalia. We are not to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and then sit down and practice our gifts and not continue in the doctrine. That's what it says here. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, in doing what? Continuing in the doctrine. Growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Peter's last words, recorded words. In doing this, taking heed to the doctrine, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And everybody won't hear you, but those that will hear you will be saved, according to this. Read it again in continuity. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 9. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord's trying to do the same thing to all who profess Christ as their Savior today. Lead them out of the land of Egypt. Lead them out of the land of Egypt. Egypt being typical of the world, a type of the world. Lead us out of Egypt, completely out of Egypt. The Lord wants us for His peculiar people, His privately owned possession. That's what He wants. He wants us to be sanctified. And by the way, sanctification is a neglected doctrine in most churches today. Separation from the world, being set apart as holy unto the Lord. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Can you imagine the Lord taking somebody by the hand and that person just shaking their hand loose from Him? Don't hang on to me. Let me alone. That was the attitude. The Lord's only trying to lead us on into better things, deeper things in the Lord. I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt because they continued not in my covenant and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. They continued not in my covenant and I disregarded them. The Lord wants us to continue. It's not just a matter of believing. I'm a believer. I'm okay. I'm a Lutheran believer. I'm a Baptist believer. I'm a Pentecostal believer. That's not enough. That's not enough. He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. Amen. We don't quit. We don't have enough till we take that last breath full of faith.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, can't we have a born-again experience? Absolutely. Absolutely. Look at all the babies that die that are born. You know? Look at all the babies that die that are born. Some babies are born left on a doorstep, thrown in a garbage can, still breathing. But we don't want any doorstep garbage can experiences, do we? No. We want to grow. That's what continue means. Growing in the Lord. Growing up from infants on up. Well, a lot of things could be argued on that, but why argue the basic point? Why argue the basic point, which is the Lord has the Holy Ghost for us, the Lord has more for us, the Lord wants us to continue in Him. You know, I hope we're better Christians this week than we were last week. And I hope we have more love for one another this week than we had last week. I preached a message in this church, it's about due again, maybe. The increase of love. Paul said to the Thessalonians, I know you love one another, but I want you to increase that love. Increase that love. We should be loving one another more and more as every week passes by. Really. We should not get to know somebody, discover their faults, and then start picking on them and loving them less. We should be able to look at somebody with unsolved problems and unresolved faults in their lives and say, I love you. I love you. And when I look at you, I see the blood of Jesus covering your sins. And give them opportunity and chance to grow and continue in Him without throwing them in a garbage can or leaving them on a doorstep somewhere.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's stand. They continued not in my covenant. Just real quickly, 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. In other words, saints, we can't forget that we're in a race, that we're running. We're in a battle. We're in a fight. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. Just a couple of more verses here. Galatians 4:11. I am afraid of you, Paul said, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Did you hear what he said? If Paul was saying, if I work with somebody and they don't grow, they don't continue in the Lord, they go back in the world, I've labored in vain. I don't get any credit for it. If I work on one person all my life and he ends up lost, what's my reward? Nothing. That's what Paul said. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Philippians 2:16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I'm going to continue, and I want you to continue, so that I don't run in vain, and so that I don't labor in vain. Praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 3:5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. Three times Paul said that. Our labor be in vain. Our labor be in vain. I don't want to come up here and preach every Wednesday night and Friday night, Sunday morning and Sunday night, or Brother Bennett get up here and preach at one of those times and have our labor in vain. That's why we preach like we do. Oh, you know what thrills our hearts? Is to see people go on. See people overcome their trials. See people fight battles and win victories. Oh, that thrills us. That just thrills us to see people have faith in God.
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's not see how little we can make it in on. Let's get all we can get.